16, and as you make your way over there in Mark chapter 16, I want to give you a little testimony that it happened to me this week. We all know Clint, and he's sitting over here. Clint had a heart attack. And so I heard that he was home, so I give him a call, and I said, hey, how you doing, Clint? He's like, oh, I'm doing great. He said, I was working. I thought it was heartburn, too much tacos. You see, you can't eat too much tacos and hasas. He said, he thought it was heartburn, and his coworker, he's not a believer, right? He's not a believer. He said, hey, why don't you go and get yourself checked in the emergency room. Once they got there, he says that he went into cardiac arrest right away. And as he was telling me his story, I don't know why, but I can picture things in my mind. I like to do that because then I can understand more. But he said that as they were working on him, he had his eyes open. And he was looking at the people. He was, Sergio, there was a peace in me. I am ready to go, to stay. And as they were working on him, he said, hey, no, I was not afraid. And I think he said that he shared with his friend. And it impacted his friend, he's not a believer. He said, hey, I was not scared. I was not afraid to die because I know where I'm going. And I bet you that this man saw Clint's cross right there. As we were talking last week, that when you bear your cross, people will see that. They will know Jesus through your cross. The way you handle your cross, the way you say, you know, I'm ready. I have this confidence. I have this peace in my life that if I die, I know where I'm going because I know that the Lord is waiting for me. I am waiting for me. And I know that this is going to make an impact, not just in his friend, his coworker, but in his family. And we pray, I pray, Lord, just make, you know, this really obvious to know that God is in control because his life was not the end of that. God was going to use that to bring more people to God's kingdom. And last week, we finished chapter 15. We need to bear our cross so we can bear much fruit. Jesus was already bearing fruit right at the cross. There was a centurion. There was women looking at him. There was Joseph and Nicodemus, those guys from the Sanhedrin, those guys who were like looking for the kingdom of God. And you remember what the centurion said, this man indeed is the Son of God. Because how Jesus endured his cross, not by being mean and condemning everyone in there, but instead because of love. Because of his love, we are saved. Because of his love, we don't have sins anymore. Because of his love, we have eternal life through Christ Jesus. Not because of what everybody else does, but it's what Jesus did on the cross for us. There's an impact when people see how we bear our cross. There's got to be this testimony that people have to see it and say, wow, that is just amazing. It's amazing how you feel so confident that if you're like going through this, if you die, you know where you're going. And that's what we need to have in our lives all the time. We need to bear our cross, our testimony that Jesus Christ bear his cross and he endured the cross. We need to do the same thing. And you will see the fruit that is going to come through that. You will see that. Because we can see the testimony of each one of us. You're here today because of that. Because somebody was bearing their cross and they say, hey, I need to show this to Jay. I need to show this to Clint. To each one of you guys here. Do you guys remember who was that person who came to you and said, hey, Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you are. Jesus loves you. Jesus said to Mary there in John chapter 11, I am the resurrection and the life. Do you believe that? Do you believe that Jesus is the resurrection and the life? I'm going to show you one verse there in John chapter 5, verse 24. And it says, I'll tell you the truth. Those who listen to my message, it is that the good news, right? The message. And believe in God who sent me have eternal life. They will never be condemned for their sins. But what does it say at the end? But they have already passed from what? From death to life. We're not dead anymore. Spiritually, we're not. We were born again. We are a new creation. And if we are a new creation, we need to live like a new man, like a new woman, right? We no longer are attached to our sinful nature anymore because now we are new in Christ. Mark chapter 1, verse 1 says, this is the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the good news for us, for me and you. And the good news is that when you believe in Christ, when you come to the point of repentance, God gives you life. You go from being death to alive in Christ. The power that it comes from that, that give you life just like this. Everything changed. Everything changed. And you imagine if Clint didn't have Christ in his heart. Can you imagine? He probably would be scared. He would have probably said, I don't want to die. I have my kids. I have my wife. My 401k. Who's going to spend it? But you see, when we are in Christ, those things don't matter. What matters is that people will know Christ through us. And we pray. We pray for his wife. We pray for his family. And I know that some of you probably have those who have walked away from the Lord. And we pray for them. But we have to trust in the Lord that he's already working in their lives. In their lives. The Holy Spirit needs to minister to us so we can understand the word. And as we see here, the power of that darkness that it was in there in the time of the crucifixion, it was just blown out by the light of Christ in the cross when he said, it is finished. It is done. I am done with this. I'm paying the price. I'm paying for your ransom. Just come and believe in me. And even that other criminal that it was next to him, he said, please remember me. Even after he was making fun of Jesus, remember me. And Jesus said, hey, I truly, I'll tell you that today, when you die, you will be with me. You will be with me. We're going to see three things here from verse 1 to verse 8. And we're going to see troubled hearts, the good news, and comfort to others. And our first one is going to be here in chapter 16, verse 1. To three, troubled hearts. We're going to see that. And it says there, chapter 16, verse 1, when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, brought spices to them that so they might go and anoint him. Jesus had died, and so he was buried, and they put a big rock on that tomb. Joseph came over, and he took him down. Now we see that the Sabbath was passed. The Sabbath was on Saturday. It will end on Saturday, like around 6 o'clock when the sun was down. Now, they couldn't do anything that day because it was against the law. But can you imagine the women? They were brokenhearted. They were hurting in their hearts. They couldn't wait until the first day of the week, Sunday, to go and anoint the body. They went and they bought all the spices because it was so fast. In the culture, the Jewish culture, when somebody died, they have to bury it right away. They don't take time like we do. They right away, they go and they bury it. And so Jesus was buried so fast, they didn't have the time to anoint Jesus. Now, these three women were a witness of Jesus' crucifixion. We see that in chapter 15, verse 40. Then we see that there's two women in chapter 15, verse 45, only two that they were witness of the burial of Jesus Christ. Now, these women are going to be the first ones to be witness of the resurrection. And my question is, where are the guys? Where are the men? Because women are more emotional, right? They're more emotional. When somebody dies, they cry more. We men, we try to hide our feelings. But women, they don't. When you tell your wife, oh, you're dumb, what do you think is going to happen? She's going to hurt forever. Even if you say sorry, even if you buy a new car for her, she's still going to remember that. Because those are things that it hurt a lot in their hearts. And they take that really, really an emotional way. So we see that their focus is, hey, listen, we need to buy spices because we need to go and anoint the body of our Lord. We need to go there. That's what they're expecting. They're expecting to find a body. And we see that Nicodemus, another man, Joseph and Nicodemus were the ones who took the body. And they prepared that. And it wasn't that they were trying to preserve the body, but it was because of the smell. Have you ever smelled someone who died for a couple of days? I haven't smelled that, but I heard it is really awful. I gotta have a lot of respect for police officers and those first responders that they go there and they find a dead body. And I mean, it gets in their mind, right? It gets in their mind. It's really hard. Verse 2, and very early in the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, underline that phrase, when the sun has risen, because later on, they're going to see the sun, S-O-N, risen. Here they see that S-U-N. Later on, they're going to see the sun. the real son. They went to the tomb. Now we see that they probably did not even sleep that night. They got a sleepover, right? They were like waiting so eagerly to go the next morning to the tomb. So now here, some of the gospel says that it was probably like around five, six in the morning when they got up, because their hearts were troubled, because they were hurting. They were sorrowful. They wanted to go right away and anoint Jesus. They wanted to go see the body. They wanted to go to see the body. They were expecting to see a body there. They were expecting to go there and at least, you know, cry a little bit more. I don't know if you guys seen someone who lost someone, but there's a point when you cry and you cry that there's no more tears. It is just like there's a feeling, but there's nothing coming out of you because you're drained of that pain. But they forgot one thing. In all this emotion and everything that they were going, their emotions, they were just playing with them. They forgot one thing, that Jesus was to fulfill the scriptures. Because Jesus said many times that the Son of Man will be taken away and be killed, be crucified. And then what? He will rise again on the third day. They forgot that. You see, the emotions sometimes, they play with us. We become so emotional that sometimes we forget the promises of God, that he said that he will never leave us or forsake us, that he will lead us, that he will give us wisdom. James tells us that if you lack a wisdom, ask for it and he will give it to you. That he's our mighty fortress. We sang the song, our mighty fortress is our God. And we forget those things because we're humans. And because the emotions sometimes, it's a cloud that it comes. And so they forgot that Jesus was to fulfill the scriptures. And we live in times that we believe that we are in the end times. That we see the signs out there, the hurting, the sin, the floodings, the fire, the war. Nations already gathering together to fight against others, try to control everything. And we see the signs. Now we ask the Lord, come, Lord, come. We don't want to see this anymore. It's getting bad out here. Now let me ask you this. Do you want Jesus to fulfill your needs? Or do you want Jesus to fulfill the scriptures? The scriptures. Because sometimes we want to get out of this problem, but it's according to the scriptures. It's whenever God is ready to come. And we, and our heart is troubled because it said, Lord, just come. We're tired of this. We're done. There's a purpose. We want Jesus to fulfill the scriptures. Verse 3 says, and they were saying to one another, who will roll away the stone from us, from the entrance of the tomb? I want you to underline that phrase. They were saying to one another. That is a really dangerous part. When we start, you know, saying to one another and coming to certain points that we shouldn't be going. So we need to be really careful with that. We need to go through the scripture. We need to go to God. Last week, my nephew came over and he brought us a lot of tacos. And he was telling me that he's ready to move on from his work. He goes, I'm ready to move on because they're taking advantage of me. And I got another apartment, so I'm moving out and I'm trying to get out. And I said, well, have you prayed to the Lord? Well, have you come to him and say, this is what you want me to do? Is it this is what you want me to quit this job and look for another? He said, I don't want to come to conclusions and I don't want to tell you that you're doing the right thing. I want you to first seek the Lord, right? I can tell you, oh yeah, just quit. But what if that's not what God wants? What if something else is going to happen and he's going to end up with no job and lose everything? So I said, why don't you seek the Lord for an answer? Now we see that their focus is, hey, we want to go there, but guess what? There's an obstacle. Who will? These are women who are not strong enough. And here it tells us that rock was a big rock. It's a massive rock. Who will? Because there's only three of them. Who will is going to move the rock? Well, Matthew tells us that they already sealed that tomb. That there was a soldier sent there. You know why? Because the religious man went over there and said, hey, listen, this guy, this deceiver, said that he's going to rise again on the third day. So we need somebody to, you know, protect that tomb so that his disciples won't come and steal him and then lie more. So the women, they don't know that. But there's this obstacle. Who will? who will? They were afraid that their mission to anoint Jesus will fail. They were afraid to fail. Who will? Have you ever asked yourself when you're going through a trial or something in your life, who will, Lord, help me? Who will? Who's going to take me away from this problem? Who will restore my life? It was too big for them. And sometimes the problems are too big for us. Who will? But they forgot. They forgot that Jesus said, hey, I'm going to rise again on the third day. They doubt the resurrection of Christ. They doubt it. Hey, he's dead already. Jesus is dead. So we need to go and anoint him. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 13 says, but if there's no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. Verse 14 says, and if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. See, there was a doubt in their hearts. They have the right motives. We want to go and anoint Jesus, but they still have this doubt that Jesus will not be there. And the thing is this, that Jesus didn't say when he was going to rise from that grave. He didn't say, oh, I'm gonna be up by sundown, you know, or I'm going to be up by 2 o'clock, or I'm going to be up by 10 o'clock. It's just the same thing as today. Jesus said that he's going to come and take his bride, but he didn't say when and what time. He didn't say what day or what time. So we have to, by faith, we have to wait. We have to wait. Let us not be worried because he doesn't come when we ask him to come, but he will come. And it says right there in verse 15 that here in 1 Corinthians that if Christ wasn't raised, then our preaching is in vain. If Christ didn't raise that day, what are we doing here? What are we preaching? Why are we pour our lives to the Lord if he's still dead? In some religions, they believe that he never rose again, that he's not the Son of God. So where is their strength and their faith? Where is their foundation then? What kind of foundation they have? What kind of foundation do you have? Do you really believe that Jesus rose from the dead? Is he alive? Is he dwells in you? Is it? We had a class years ago when we were in our church in California, and we were going through this class, the Truth Project. And I remember one day that one brother asked to everyone in there, because we assumed that everybody there in the class, they were really strong believers, because everybody had something to say about that videos. Oh yeah, you know, I found this person and everything. And when we asked this question, how many of you are struggling in your faith? How many of you are really struggling in your faith? Let's be honest. Let's be honest. And there was a brother who said, you know what? I am struggling in my faith. And he was one of the youth pastors. He said, how can you be struggling in your faith, brother? How can we help you? Because we struggle in our faith. It's just like them that were struggling to believe that Jesus was alive. Who will? Who will, they said. Who will help us to move this rock that is still there? You know, Paul said that question too. He asked that question. Who will, Paul? In Romans chapter 7, verse 15. If you want to turn your Bibles there in Romans chapter 7, it says verse 15, for I do not understand my own actions. For I do not do what I want, but I do everything I hate. And this is a struggle, right? It's a fight. The things that I'm supposed to be doing, I'm not doing. And the things that I'm supposed to be doing, man, I don't do them. And it's a fight. And he says in verse 24, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Who will? Who will take us? Who will remind us every day? Hey, you forgot to have your devotional. Hey, you forgot to share the gospel. Who will? It says, Paul, who will, even this guy who had a relationship with the Lord, who will deliver me from the body of death? And we know the answer, right? Only Jesus Christ can deliver us. Only Jesus Christ. Only Jesus Christ is the only man that you can see in history that has many, 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 many people following him. He's the only one who has changed history. You see all these heroes and all these criminals, but none of them has changed the life of people like Jesus has done. Jesus is the only one who has fulfilled prophecy. And Jesus is the only one who has been resurrected by himself. We serve a living God. We don't serve a God that is dead. And the gospel is so clear to us. And Paul tells us here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 4. He tells us how important it is. Verse 3 says, For I deliver to you as first importance that I also receive that Christ died for our sin in accordance with the scripture. that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scripture. There's a lot of men who can get credit for something, for helping a nation, but have never been, they can say that it's according to the scripture. They were anticipating, these women, they were anticipating to someone will come and help him to move the rock. But you see, the rock was already moved. The rock was already moved. It tells us in another gospel that two angels, another one says three angels, another says one angel, but it doesn't matter. God already opened that tomb, but he didn't. They didn't open that tomb for Jesus to get out. It was for them to come inside and see that he was not there anymore. And sometimes we need the Lord to open our eyes that we are in Christ, that we don't have to be slaves of our sins anymore. For any addictions, we don't have to, because he's risen. He has with the power that God risen him. So you gotta imagine when they're gonna come. Let's go back to Mark chapter 16, verse 4. And we're going to see the next one. We saw troubled hearts. Now we're going to see the good news. The good news. The good news is that they forgot about it, right? And it says, and looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back and it was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in white robes. And they were alarmed. I will be surprised too, you know. They were surprised. And they said to them, and the angel said to them, do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. So you see now that they were going, their focus was like, who's going to open that tomb? Matthew tells us that there was a great earthquake when those angels were coming down. Luke tells us that they were perplexed. They were scared, but they were excited. The emotions that they went through. And the word of insurance from this angel, they said, hey, don't be alarmed. Have you ever heard the word of God in the middle of the storm? In the middle of your pain? Have you heard the word of God that says, don't be alarmed. I am here with you. I am here with you. You don't have to run to your drugs. You don't have to run to pornography. You don't have to run to alcohol. You don't have to run to anything. Stay with me. You know that voice that it tells us that, hey, listen, I'm not going to leave you and forsake you. We, both of us, we're going to go through this. I can't imagine Clint when he was there. Probably the Lord saying to Clint, hey, listen, me and you, we're going to go through this. Me and you, we're going to go through this. Trust me. Trust me. And he's here today. Praise the Lord, right? Praise the Lord. And Leon, too. Leon had a stroke the other day. And man, he's here. Praise the Lord. We see brothers who are going through a lot. And guess what? God is in control. God is in control. If you cannot see those signs that Jesus is saying, listen, I am here with you guys. That is the good news, that Jesus is alive. The same love that they brought this lady to the cross brought them there to the tomb. Because they loved Jesus. They wanted to see him. They were worried because of the stone. They forgot that Jesus is the cornerstone of our lives. That he has to be our cornerstone. He has to be our foundation of this. But you know what? They still believe, where's Jesus? Right? They see that there's no one there, that the body's not there, but where is he? We need to see him so we can believe. Right? We need to see Jesus. We need to touch his body. Because we're going to see later on that they're going to go tell the disciples, but we don't know where the body is. They still want to see something. And we got to be really careful when we see all the signs and everything that's going around in the world. We know that we're on the end times. We still got to believe in faith that the Lord can come today, right now. Maybe as I'm speaking, you guys said, I'm going to go and you guys are going to stay here. No, I'm just kidding. But the Lord can come right now. Maybe you guys are going to be walking. Maybe we're going to be walking to our homes and everybody's gone. And then we're going to like, what's going on with those cars that they are turned on and everything and nobody's there. The Lord has taken us. Jesus is in control. Jesus is in control. The good news is Jesus is not there anymore. Now, the good news is they probably felt the good news like a cold water, you know, a bucket of cold water. Like, he's not here. Go in. See it. See it for yourself. Where is the rock? Because they were so worried. Who will take the rock? You know, sometimes the Lord has already a plan when we go through something and he's already saying, hey, listen, I got it. And when you see the end of that, you're like, oh, okay. I can see that the Lord had a plan and he ministered to us. We have seen troubled hearts from these ladies. We see the good news of the gospel that Jesus was risen. Now we're going to see comfort the others. Verse 7 and 8. I want to read verse 6 again. Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen, and he's not here. See the place here where they laid him. But go and tell the disciples and Peter. By the way, you know, don't forget Peter. And Peter, that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. Isn't that amazing? That even Peter, after he denied Jesus, Jesus did not deny Peter. And Jesus has a plan for Peter. He says right here, hey, listen, go and tell the disciples. Go and encourage those out there because they're waiting. They're hurting the same way as you guys are doing. Now the ones who are hurting, now they got to go and encourage others. That's our job, that when you go through something, then you have to encourage others. They're going to go through the same thing that you go through. Hey, maybe I'll have a heart attack next time and Clint is going to go say, hey, I was praying for you, Sergio. And I know that you trust in the Lord. And brother, you be strong, because even though this is just a milestone in our lives, life is just a step to heaven. And this is it. And it says here, go and tell the disciples. Go and encourage those. Why? Because he's going to go before you to Galilee. Not to Jerusalem, but to Galilee. And sometimes we need Jesus to go before us. Sometimes we want to go before us. Who will help us? You know, Jesus is already 10 steps before us. He's already fixing the problem. Hey, I'm going to go to my family's reunion, and I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. Jesus, will you go before me and prepare the heart? I'm going to go to work, and I hate my work, right? Can you go before me and just protect us? And sometimes Jesus needs to go in front of us. He needs to go before us because he has a plan. And just like Jesus, just like Peter, Jesus had a plan for Peter, because he said to Peter, when you have returned to me, Peter, what did he say to him? Strengthen my brothers. Strengthen your brothers. Peter was going to stand up in the day of Pentecost and he will preach a message filled with the Holy Spirit, and people will return to the Lord. Because he has plans for him, and he has plans for me and you. For I know the thoughts that I think of you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. How many of you believe that God has a plan for you? Only one person? Come on, guys. God has a plan for us, for all of us. You're there wherever you are in your work and whatever you do. You're there because God has a plan for you. And God had a plan for these ladies. And God has a plan for Nicodemus and Joseph and that centurion. He has a plan because he has thoughts of peace, not of evil. He has plans for a future and a hope. And when you let the scriptures come into you and just the Spirit to start ministering to you, you will see the scriptures comes alive in your life as you go through a lot of things in your life. Peter loved Jesus, but even though he loved, fell. He failed to love Jesus because he denied him, and he was broken, and he went back to fishing, and he's over there, you know, feeling sorry for himself. But guess what? Jesus said, Peter, I love you. Peter, I love you. It doesn't matter that you deny me. I love you because I know that you love me. Even when we fail, even when we are not faithful to him, he stays faithful. He stays faithful all the time. Verse 8, it says here, And they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them, and they say nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. They were afraid. Matthew tells us that it says Matthew 28, verse 8 says, so they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy. Can you imagine the emotion? They're so excited, but at the same time, where is the body? Where is Jesus? They might probably stole Jesus. They probably put it somewhere else. We don't know where he is. Between the excitement to know that Jesus was alive, but the fear, where is he? They just ran out. They just ran. It says that they did not say anything to anyone. They were probably in shock. And at the same time, women in those days, they didn't have a lot of credit. They didn't really listen to them. And we're going to see that they did. When they say something, when they say, hey, we Jesus is alive, they were like, ah, no, we have to see it ourselves. But we see that Jesus used a lot of women in his ministry. There's a lot of women who have a lot of wisdom, and they're leading other women. And it tells us, the Bible tells us that those, the ones who are mature in Christ, they need to lead those who are not mature in Christ. And the same thing with men. Man, we need to lead other men. We need to encourage other men. We need to come along with them, beside them, and say, hey, how can I pray for you? How can I help you? Jesus said, I'm going before you to Galilee. See, the disciples, they thought, hey, you know, Jesus is going to come, and he's going to bring his kingdom, and he's going to destroy this Roman kingdom, and he's going to put his office here, and I want one of those offices next to his office. And that's what they wanted. He's going to come and set us free here in Jerusalem. And we're going to set free, and we're going to be powerful, just like David in the days of David. But not Jesus. Jesus said to Pilate, my kingdom is not from this world. Jesus is not going to save us from our pain. He's going to help us to go through our pain. Jesus is not going to take us to this world because we hate this world, but he's going to save it because he's going to fulfill the scriptures. He came to die for us. And whoever believes in him will have eternal life. And that's for us a promise. You see, the women, they went looking for the body of Jesus that morning, early in the morning. Let me ask you this. What are you looking for? What are you looking for? Did you come to church today to hear God's voice or just for another sermon? Because it's important that we say, Lord, I want you to speak to me. I expect you to speak to me this morning. I expect that your word will speak to me, that will strengthen my faith. See, those women, they were expecting just to go and anoint Jesus and close that tomb and go away. But they were encouraged. Their faith was shaken. Do you want Jesus to go before you in your life to prepare the path? Are you worried about your life today? Are you worried? Because we all worry. We all worry for others. We have this cross that is not easy to carry. And how heavy is your cross? Is it 2,000 pounds? Is it only 40 pounds? How heavy it is? It doesn't matter how heavy it is. Jesus will take your cross with you. And he says, do not be afraid. Do not be alarmed. Do you want the assurance that Jesus is there in your life? Turn your Bibles to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. And I love this chapter. Verse 1 says, let not your heart be troubled. Is he just speaking to his disciples, or is he speaking to you this morning? Is he speaking to you this morning? Because it says, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If this were not so, would I have told you that I go and prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you. Is he speaking to us? Absolutely, he's speaking to you and to me. Do not be troubled. If you don't believe this, then I will go and prepare a place for you to myself. He said, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you will be also. And you know the way to where I'm going. Is Jesus telling you this morning, do not let your hearts be troubled? Because that's a promise. He says, if you believe that God has not prepared your room out there, he's going to go and get it ready. And I believe that he's already got mine ready. I know that he has Clint's ready already. Maybe he has James ready. Juanita's, he has your room ready in there. All of us. Tell me, Jesus has your room ready. And he's going to come and take us. He said, hey, here's your room. Here's your place. Enjoy it. But we have to believe. We have to believe in him. The obstacle was for them just a little rock. But they have to believe that the rock was already moved. What is your obstacle this morning? What is holding you back to believe that God has a plan for you? What is holding you back? Is it the worries of this life? Is it the troubles of this life? Is it your work? Is it your family? Is it your wife? Is it your husband? What is holding you back? Because it's hard to believe that Jesus has not come yet. We see the signs and we're like, Lord, it's taking you long already. Come on, you need to come. But Jesus will come in his time. See, the body, the body of Jesus Christ, they became sin, he was there anymore. He was gone. Because now they're going to see the glorified body. They're going to go up into the hill. You know that when you go up into the hill, you see the glory of God. And that's where they're going to go next week. They're going to see the glory of God because they're going to see Jesus, the glorified body, the ultimate miracle that nobody can do. And they're going to go up in the hill. But let's guess what? When you go up in the hill, you have to go down the hill where the ministry is, where problems are, where the reality is. The women were looking for Jesus' body. What are you looking for? In John chapter 11, if you turn your Bibles there, Lazarus, his friend, was dying. If you remember that Jesus said, it is good that he died. Because this illness is good because it is for the glory of God. The heart attack of Clint was for the glory of God. The one from Leon was for the glory of God. For whatever you go is for the glory of God. This place right here is for the glory of God. In this pulpit right here, in this place, we don't want to teach something else besides glorifying the Lord. We want Christ to be lifted high because he's our Lord and King. We don't want nobody else to come here and just give us whatever he thinks if it's not Jesus Christ. And if you see there, Martha comes to Jesus and he says, Lord, if you would have been here, my brother would never die. He would have been alive. He's already dead. It's been 4 days already. Not 3 days, but 4 days. And he already smells, right? And verse 15 says, and for your sake, I'm glad that I was not there so that you may believe, but let us go to him. He's already dead. And Jesus said, I'm glad because now you're going to believe who I am. I want you to open your eyes. And now he's dead, 4 days. And Martha comes and says, and then in verse 26 says, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though they die, they should what? Live. And again, Mary comes again in verse 28, and she comes and the same thing. Lord, if you would have come, my brother would have been alive. Please. In verse 32, but again, he says to her, I am the resurrection. And he says, open, take, let's go. Let's go and see where is he? Where's Lazarus? And I want you to see the picture here because then Jesus says in verse 39, take the stone away. See, Lazarus could not take the stone. He was already dead. Martha and Mary could not take the stone because he smells. We don't want to open that stone. We don't want to open that grave. But Jesus says, take that stone. Do you believe that Jesus was already healed this man? I believe so. I believe that Jesus already healed this man even before he said, let's go. Open that stone. And Mary says, he's already dead. He smells. And Jesus said in verse 40, didn't I tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? One day the Lord is going to just come. And it says that when in the blink of an eye, we're going to see the glory of God. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Do you believe that in a blink of an eye, you're going to close your eyes and the Lord is going to be right in front of you and say, hey, welcome. Welcome. And we're going to see his hands. Didn't I tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? The picture is here that Jesus used those men to move the rock to bring that man out. God used his mighty power to raise Christ from the dead. He didn't need anyone to open his grave. He used his own power to open that grave. Didn't I tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? Do you believe that you are anew in Christ? Do you believe that you have a new life? Because in the old life, there was sickness, there was sin, there's suffering, there's grief, there's headaches, there are heart attacks, right? There's all these things that are in our old life. But in the new life that we're going to have, everything is going to be new. There's forgiveness in our new life. There's salvation. There's eternal life. There's a new creation, a new birth, a new heart, a new life, a new hope, and a new purpose for us. When we are not in Christ, we have no purpose. And then finally, when the Lord comes, we're going to have a new body and a place called heaven with our Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, I can't wait to go. I can't wait to go. I want to finish with this. Timmy's asleep. Wake up, Timmy. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Let the word of God dwell in you deeply, Paul said. Let the word of God dwell in you deeply. Open your Bibles, and I want to finish with this verse. Open your Bibles in Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. I'm in the wrong book. I was like, it's not the verse. Verse 1, verse 7. Chapter 1, verse 7. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. According to the riches of his grace. We need to memorize that verse, because every time you go through something, remember that we are rich in Christ because of the riches of his grace. Who we are in Christ, and how can we apply the word of God in our lives, and how people can see our lives, and how can see Christ through our lives. And I'm excited to go through the book of Ephesians. So we're going to take another 2 more weeks, and then after that, we're going to do the book of Ephesians. Let us pray. Father, I pray that your spirit this morning, Lord, will give us that peace, Lord, so our hearts will not be troubled, Lord. As we wait upon you, Lord, to come and take us, Lord, to your place that you prepare for us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to endure our cross, Lord. Help us, Lord, to people to see our lives, Lord. They see Christ in us, Father. I pray that we will fill with the Holy Spirit. That every morning, Lord, that when we get up, Lord, we say, Lord, fill me with the Holy Spirit, because there's someone out there who needs to hear the good news. That our Lord Jesus Christ died and he rose again on the third day. That now he's at the right hand of the Father. And he's our interceding for us, Lord. Father, I pray, Lord, that this week, Lord, you will use us in a mighty way. I pray, Father, for each one of us here, Lord. I pray, Lord, that we'll go home, Lord, not the same way that we came, looking for something, Lord. That we find you, Lord. We find Christ in here, the resurrected Christ. Lord, that we, Lord, find peace. That we find, Lord, the power of the Holy Spirit. That we can go home, Lord, knowing that you're with us, Lord. And I pray, Lord, for those who are going through sickness, Lord. I pray that your spirit will go there, Lord. Freddie's family, Lord. I pray for my wife, Lord, as she's home. I pray for the little girls of Freddie's, Mia. And Lord, I pray for all of them, Lord. Father, we pray for each one of us in here, Lord. Prepare our hearts, Lord, for whatever is going to come. Because we know, Lord, there will be obstacles in our lives. Father, remind us that you are already in front of us. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your love, your kindness, your grace, your mercy, Lord. Blessed be the Father, Lord Jesus Christ, who has given us all these gifts from heaven. Thank you, Father. Thank you for giving us this plan, this perfect plan here in your book, Lord. Help. Thank you, Lord, that you speak to us through this. Father, we love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to finish with this song. Last week I forgot, but this week I won't. Let us finish with this song.